B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hello and welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today, we'll share our thoughts on some of the indie games out here at PAX East, and we get to know Julie, one of the super producers that helped us out at the show floor. But first, let's check out our conversation with Rich from the Toucher and Rich Show out here at Boston Sports Hub 98.5.
Right now, we have a very special guest in the house. We have Rich from the Toucher and Rich Show.
And I'm with the Robbie and the Norris from Checkpoint XP, but you guys right now are dog meat compared to the Boston Uprising guys.
Yes.
Because I am seeing women. look at these. This line to meet them. There are women throwing underwear, men throwing SIM cards towards them. Please sign whatever I have. This is really, really strange. It's funny, too, because, like, you know, we had some of those guys in the studio the other day, and we're on Twitch. We have, like, 8 followers on Twitch. Because people don't understand how to do Twitch, which, see, I know you guys sound so foreign, but to, like, people who, you know, are just learning about it, they're like, what indeed is this Twitch? Why can't I watch you on television?
We've been trying to teach them about it. It's just as frustrating.
But
we put them on Twitch, and my God, all of a sudden I thought it was like, you know those movies where somebody hacks into the account and you're, and the guy's, like, bank account?
The numbers just start rising.
Yep. It was like that, and then it was, like, really horribly. I was feeling good about myself for a moment, and the minute they left, it was just like.
They all leave.
Yeah, they were back.
They all go
single
away.
It's, you know, viewers, and it's just one guy yelling at us, you know, like, why is there a shine on your forehead?
Yeah. So this is your first PAX, right?
This is my first PAX.
What
yes.
do you think of it, man? Because conventions, especially in the gaming sphere, are unlike any other event that you've ever been to.
Yeah, this is definitely not going, you know, not like going to the bankers conference somewhere in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, or anything like that.
No. I have to tell you, Norris, everywhere I go, I end up accidentally, unintentionally becoming an a-hole to everyone around me. So I don't know how many... It's been three different things I've walked into and just started playing, and I have a line full of people start screaming, go, there's a line back here, and it's like a mile down the way, and I don't know how the lines are set up. They're doing a good job hiding all of them, but I'm apparently just a dick everywhere I go. Nobody is, I'm cutting off people. There was a second ago where someone yelled at me, and I thought I was just for doing nothing. I was at the Splatoon finals,
yes.
which was kind of rad, by the way. You won 7 games, which I guess is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
It's okay. Well, I mean, they won these golden controllers that are worth their weight in pewter. So as I was leaving, I saw a couple seats were opening up for the Super Smash thing, which I do want to see. And as I'm walking out, I told one of my sons, I was like, hey, we're going to come back here and get these seats. And the guy goes, oh, no. You better get those seats now, because you ain't going to get them when you come back.
You ain't getting them back.
I thought he was going to punch me. He was very hostile.
No, it is. And, you know, listen, we're nerds. We love nerd things, but we also realize that when nerds get angry, it's not pretty. It's very loud and screechy.
You ever been slapped with a wet noodle? That's what it feels like.
Or like a foam, like, keyblade?
Yes.
Might have got one of those across the
yes.
teeth.
Yes.
I've seen a few of those, but man, I mean, it has been... First of all, I don't know how you can sit here at this booth and not constantly be walking over to that stand-up Street Fighter machine.
It's because...
We got work to do. We got to hit the pavement. And Norris is like, yeah, just give me a minute here. Just give me a minute here.
Listen, first of all, I tried to get him to play, but he never wants to play.
I played one against you.
You played one game of Street
Who's
Fighter
your guy?
Against
Sorry, we didn't go 7 games, Norris.
Who's your guy?
You didn't give me my run back.
Who's your guy? You go to Street Fighter.
You can pick for me. It doesn't matter.
Oh,
he plays,
you're cocky.
Plays everything.
Norris, you're cocky. How about you? Robbie, well, you walk over to Street Fighter. Who's your guy?
If I got to pick, I didn't this time, but I usually go Chun-Li.
Okay, Chun-Li. Chun-Li is the one.
That's because all you have to do is hit one
the
button
leg.
And she kicks.
And it's awesome. It's the best glitch ever. You can kill everyone with Chun-Li. There's no problem. It's almost like Scorpions in the first and second Mortal Kombat. The get over here!
Did you see that the new Mortal Kombat is coming out?
Oh my God, that's the most violent thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I mean, I've grown up seeing horribly violent movies.
Yes.
Like, way over the top. I watched that video. there's a part where I don't know who it is, Scorpion or somebody or Cage, but either way, they put a spear through the guy's chest. It like rips him in half, and then his blood shoots up into the sky and forms into 18 spears. And as if his death wasn't humiliating enough, he gets impaled by spears of his own blood into his mouth. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle that, dude.
I can't wait to buy it.
Long ago, like we're way far from the days where you had to type in the blood code.
Yeah, that's
the original one, which I still remember, by the way, in the Sega. It was ABACAB, ABACABB.
That's right.
And so, but admit, that stand-up Street Fighter machine over there, admit, Norris and Robbie, that there's something about walking up to a stand-up arcade game.
Always.
That just feels way more cooler than sitting down in front of a monitor.
Always. It is my dream to own a cabinet.
Every year I look up
how much cabinets cost, and now I'm to a point where I'm like, I think it might be time. But I gotta ask you this question,
okay,
Rich.
Sure.
That by this being your first PAX, by this being your first gaming con, have you witnessed the cosplay, this phenomenon known as cosplay?
It's insane. There was Well, first of all, the best thing about the cosplay is like, you know, there'll be like a guy who goes all in and he's like Kirby and you can't see their face and they're walking around. It's like, oh, my God, it's Kirby. But the best is when you see like a dude dressed as like
Princess Peach
in line for a cheeseburger. Like, there's nothing that makes me laugh more than like these people who go all in on cosplay who are like doing like perfectly normal human things. Like, there was a guy who was, you know, he was standing there and he was dressed as, I believe it might have been Sub-Zero. Mm-hmm. And it was Sub-Zero in line with Samus from Metroid. And they're in line for the John. And for some reason, that stuff makes me laugh more than anything.
Like, video game characters poop?
Right.
Come on!
Samus is going to take a Metroid-sized dump. And it's going, like, do you take the entire outfit off when you push out a deuce? Or do you just, like,
It is one of the eternal struggles when you go all in, it is a challenge in and of itself.
The answer, Rich, is butt windows.
You have a butt flap.
There's a butt flap.
So the cosplay thing.
Not if you're all in, because butt flaps aren't canon.
Okay. That's
butt
true.
Flaps, are,
butt
not flaps canon. Are not canon.
Or like when Sub-Zero goes to the bathroom, does he stay in his voice? You know, like, you know, get over here. When it drops, he goes,
I saw a guy who literally stayed in character as Dante from Devil May Cry. This guy's very, like, yeah, super cool. Like, that, you know, that's the kind of guy the character
sure,
is.
Sure.
He did not break character for anything. And this was at, this wasn't here. I think it was at E3. And his cup of whatever it was, cup noodles or whatever, had fallen. And he, like, tried his best to catch it. And you know you can't look cool trying to catch anything.
Oh, sure.
And he
sure.
just goes, well, I guess I'll just have to get another one. Okay. And everybody just goes,
and just said, and you're just like, all right, dude, that's weirding me out, man.
I was like,
the guy just says, sir, here is your fried bread.
I was very disturbed, okay. But I appreciated it.
I need to ask you guys about something.
Sure.
I've been dying to ask you since I was here Thursday. So I'm going around, and there's all these, like, insane concepts for video games. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, the Cuphead thing I know has been around forever. That's amazing. Like, the art looks great. And then you've got all these ones like, you know, the thing with the zombies walking around. But then there was a game that I saw that was simply called Bus Simulator.
Yes.
And it just simulates...
He hasn't seen Talking Simulator yet.
He hasn't seen Talking Simulator.
Or Bee Simulator.
Farming
Simulator. Do you know about Goat Simulator?
Okay, let's stop.
There's a whole genre to this.
Stop for a moment. I talked on the air about this thing called Bus Simulator. I was like, you don't understand. This isn't like Pole Position. This isn't like some awesome like Mario Kart.
Crazy Taxi.
No, you are just driving a T-Bus, essentially, all throughout the city. And it's in all these people. Oh, yeah, there's simulators everywhere. People are there's Farming Simulator. You could be a
Farming Simulator has their own esports league with a $500,000 prize pool in Europe.
Oh my God. So what do you do?
By the way, is higher than the FGC tournament.
It sucks. Oh, really? It's terrible.
What is the task? Like, what do you do?
Okay,
bale hay.
You bale hay.
You gotta pick it up and put it on
the most efficient ways to bale hay.
See, people play video games to get away from, like, real life crap like that.
No.
Like, why do you do that? Is it, like, a sense of, like, relaxation?
There's a whole genre of Twitch that is, like, simulator Twitch where you just watch people play like 18-wheeler simulator.
They get into it. Like, they got the full rig.
The full rig around
them. They got the wheel, all the like lights and switches and stuff.
When you find yourself in a simulator Twitch room, like, it's got to be like you walked into the lamest party you've ever seen. It's like everyone there is an insurance salesman and wants to talk to you about their day at work. Like, that just sounds like the worst game ever, but apparently it's massive.
And listen, they make so much money. They make so much money doing it. It's because I think nobody wants to make the actual time or money investment to be a real farmer or a real bus driver.
Sure.
So you play bus simulator.
But who dreams of being a bus driver?
Honestly,
I think it's the absurdity of it, right? Because especially when you look at something like Goat Simulator, that's not actually about being
Tell me about Goat Simulator. What is that?
Goat Simulator is more that the goat is some creature from beyond the dark portal. Not actually. That's what it looks like and feels like. And just bugs out. Like,
the whole game is like an exorcism. It's a game that's very poorly made, essentially, that caught on because it was poorly made.
Okay. Now, is the bad guy like a horny farmer?
There is no bad guy.
Oh, okay.
It's like GTA, but with a goat that's possessed by a demon.
Okay, see, I can see, like, backwards goat, like Goat Simulator, where you're running from an army of, you know, these guys who are, like to hook up with animals. That would be kind of funny. And your job as the righteous goat is to gnaw off their privates when they try to attack you.
Exactly.
See, I think that would be a game that I might be interested in playing.
That's the game that Rich would play.
Sure. It's called Goat Avenger, you know?
Goat Adventure.
No, Goat Avenger. Like, you know, for all the, you know.
There's a goat back there. Hell, you know, just a, you know.
See,
cardboard
goat. Now you're talking my language.
Cardboard.
So this is great. I'm glad you guys are here. What do I need to see? What do I need to do?
All right. So you definitely need to go see Talking Simulator.
And the Bee Simulator.
These
you're
are
obviously
both real.
Into the sim
We're
games.
Not joking.
Mm-hmm.
Go see them.
What is Talking Simulator? I can talk. Why do I need to simulate it?
You'd be surprised.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, definitely go check out Talking Simulator. A lot of the stuff behind us in the indie section is really imaginative.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really new and different. But if you want to check out some of the big stuff, definitely try to do some VR.
Okay.
The
lines
stuff.
For those are nuts, but they look amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love
to be able to tell you to check out some of the AAA stuff, especially today. Those lines, when I was up there, they're constantly capped.
You're spending
half your day just to try and get into
You know why I'm bummed isn't here and I thought they'd be here? Do you know that company Arcade 1-Up? Arcade 1-Up. I was talking about stand-up arcade games.
Yeah.
They're that company that just started reproducing, like, old-school arcade games, like a Galaga and a Golden Tee and even Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, but they're three-quarters the size, and they're, like, $300.
Yeah, I'm almost absolutely sure they got sued.
Oh, they got sued?
Sounds like they might have. I
want to confirm that. That might be hearsay.
Oh, that sucks, because I want to buy every single one of them, because you know, as you said, cabinets are like $3,000 to $4,000 a month. I actually have one. Like, years ago, my wife bought me for our anniversary, because I said, there's one stupid thing I could buy that I absolutely did not need. I'd like a Tron machine. I might have been drunk at the time. However, I came back
home. Okay, they didn't get sued.
Okay.
They didn't get sued. They do have the classic games.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, all that is just an emulator on a Raspberry Pi.
But it looks cool. But it looks good for $300.
It looks great. It looks great. And the job I used to do with the kids, we built one of those.
So you have a Tron arcade machine then?
I do.
You're getting at?
So I have a Tron machine. And so when we moved, like, I used to live in Dallas. In Dallas, you know, going from Dallas to Boston, it's like everything is half the space for twice the price.
That is true.
So we ended up moving here, and we had an apartment that might have been 750 square feet, and I had this big ass Tron machine. So for the longest time, right next to where, like, I ate my breakfast, was this gigantic ass Tron machine. It was like the only thing that I had, and my wife found it, like, online, and she got it for like $500. But so my dream is to have, like, the line of the old school classic arcade games, but they're utterly ridiculous in the price. So for $300, you know, if you have them all lined up, it's not quite as nice as the other one, but it does the trick, you know?
No, it definitely does, and I think that says something, because I really do want kind of arcades to come back, and you know, in our generation, arcades just disappeared.
Yeah.
So I really would like that feeling of going up to a machine, looking at a guy that you don't know,
and
saying, "I'm about to beat you."
Hell yeah! Good, the bad, the ugly music starts, and you're like, "Let's bring it on."
I love that feeling, man. You put your quarter on the thing to let you know let everybody know you got next, and that was such an important part of the culture that I think gets lost with online.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love hearing people get really excited about arcade cabinets, especially folks who weren't quote-unquote gamers.
Yeah, sure.
So I really dig hearing you talk about stuff like that.
Well, the cool thing is too, now there's a whole new trend in these retro arcade bars.
Yeah.
And like every city's got, like, there's one here in town called Versus. And Versus is line out the door packed every night after 5 o'clock when people get off work. It's like, if you're someone like me and you want to go to a good bar, why not have one where after you've had a few drinks, like, I am going to
the last time
ass.
That we were in town, we had found a grilled cheese place that had
Roxy's.
A barcade hidden in the back of it.
Roxy's Arcade.
Yes.
Roxy's Arcade rules, but you can't get in. Like, I mean, the line is down the street. I mean, this place kind of turned into that too. But and they have great beer, which makes it's a legitimately good bar. And then you walk in, it's like NBA Jam.
It was ridiculous,
my God,
because we're sitting there and we're just like, I mean, I don't really want a grilled cheese, because it's like there's a door, because you can't see the barcade before you walk into the venue. So
it's
you
a
have
speakeasy
to
make it extra cool.
Exactly. So we're sitting there, and I'm just like, why are people at a Coke check at a grilled cheese place?
This, right.
This is crazy.
I'm like, there's a Google review for like 4 weeks ago. It's got to still be here.
Right.
Right.
So same thing. It's like, hey, is this the barcade? And it's like, yeah, let me stamp your hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Let me walk you through the meat freezer.
Yeah, and it was like, which I legitimately think it used to be that restaurant's meat freezer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they kept the door there and everything.
And it was like, oh.
It's awesome.
And it's like, oh, my God. It was great.
I can never get in, though. Like, that one, okay, that one still, you can't get in.
You might be a little too old.
That's what it was. The doorman.
Well, the thing is, though, is that, you know, in arcades like that, though, I feel like I'm not too old. Because, like, the one in Downtown Crossing, like, there aren't, like, super cool dudes like you guys who are going down there. It's me. It's like,
hear that, Robbie? We're super,
super cool. Dude, you're way totally nice. Hip, rad, and off the chain, as the kids like to say.
We're
lit, fam.
You are lit. You are lit, my friend.
No. Rich, I will mute you. Right now.
Oh, but it's
this.
But you go to the one downtown, and it's like, it's dudes like me who have, like, a couple kids. And you know what I do? I'm not kidding you. I'll go to Versus at, like, 3:45. Like, my kids will get out of school.
Yeah.
I'll bring them there. All the other, like, young, like, dads and we'll sit down at the bar.
Is that young dad time?
What's that?
3:45 at the
Friday at 3:45 is, it's time to drink time at this bar. So we sit there and we start pounding. They're nodding their heads. We start pounding drinks and the kids are running around, and then that's when he goes, I am going to kick your ass in Mortal Kombat. It's like, bring it on, sons. So we go over there and it's great. It's great. But it's people like that who are looking for kind of a taste of kind of what they grew up with. But the games are still legit. They're still fun. Mm-hmm. You know,
this sounds like a really bad episode of Malcolm in the Middle.
Not every episode of Malcolm in the Middle is dead.
What it sounds like. It's just two angry drunk dads at a bar cave fighting each other while they're
that
kids.
Is my, that, you know what,
that's
the real
reason
to me.
Frankie Muniz can't remember any of it. He just chooses not to.
You just wait till you have kids and the reality sets in that you get any type of, like, small bit of happiness. You grab
speaking
it and
of,
let it go.
Speaking of, one of the things that you need to check out, because what's cool about PAX is it's not just all video games, too, because it was very grassroots to begin with. There's a lot of, like, tabletop, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, you know, that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
In the back area here, there's tons and tons of, like, board games and tabletop games.
There's a $10,000 table.
I got three 48-sided die in my pants right now. You ready to roll?
Wait,
I got them
bones
ready to go.
I'm sorry, what side?
48-sided die.
Why are there 48-sided?
Because sometimes when you're a level 8 cleric and you've got chainmail, you want to raise a little hell.
There's nothing that calls for 48-sided die, Rich.
Everything calls for 48-sided die in life. Everything.
This is a D&D discussion, so I'm out.
You can roll over that, but what you
I'm
need
ready
to do,
battle some gelatinous cubes and own.
You need to drop some money on your two boys here, buy some games, and play those with them. That's what you need to
do. What game would they like? They're into Super Smash Brothers, which I completely stink at. Mario Kart. They love what's the one Kirby? The
new Yoshi game is looking really
game.
Nice. To me,
the Nintendo stuff, I've always thought they were the most imaginative. Those
talking about, like, board game stuff. I mean, point. Honestly, anything you pick up back there is going to be great. I'm a big fan of Munchkin. You ever played Munchkin?
No, but I've heard about it.
Yep, Munchkin's a good one.
I can't the card games, like they like the Pokemon, the classic stuff like that. Like me, I don't get it.
I bet he loses. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, Super Smash Brothers is confusing as hell. I don't know how. Why is it that when you get your ass kicked, your score goes up? Like, it's like, why are you like 100, like 70% and like he'll have 0%, he'll win?
That's your danger percent.
Yeah, the higher percentage,
the
easier it is to launch.
Why do I always fall off the board?
Well, that's because you're a bad
jump.
Okay. If I wanted to have an advantage over everyone.
Kirby. Peach. Jigglypuff.
Is that because they fly?
Yes.
You hear that, guys? Kirby, Peach, Jigglypuff. Immediately go for them. You're shaking your head as if I'm talking like... No.
I mean, it's not going to help him.
It's not going to help him.
It'll at least help him maybe not fall
as
often.
That's bad advice. Well, telling him to play Peach? That's horrible advice.
If his problem is that he's falling off the edge, that means he can't utilize his jumps.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You play Kirby.
Okay, we've lost Julie, our producer. She's completely zoned out. She's like, they've gotten full nerd.
Julie's been glazed over for half the whole day.
We've got full nerd. All right, well, this was awesome. Thank you. Jigglypuff, you guys remember that? We're going to write that down. Okay. I'm going to go around. Maybe I will buy some orc ears, try to fit in possibly, you know, I don't know. He's got the cappy hat. I might have to borrow that so I can get into some of the cool club, you know, the cool rooms upstairs. I might be able to.
Well, since he has the cappy hat, they need to get you the toadstool cap.
You got to get the toadstool.
You can be Toad to their Mario.
I never thought it was a hat. I always thought that was his head.
It was only recently, like last year, revealed that that's a hat.
That's a hat.
It's so morbid. I saw the picture, the cartoon where he took it off, and I'm like, you have decapitated Toad. It's not very nice.
It is quite terrifying.
Right, we've gone full nerd. I mean, we've gone way past nerd. We're like in the Eldrin of Dragomanergia right now.
Definitely. Rich, thank you so much for stopping by. We look forward to talking to you so much more.
Sunday night, Checkpoint XP. Make sure you tell the rest of the guys that I miss them. I love them. I want to take them with me to watch me get my ass kicked on many of the games around here. But I enjoy your show.
All right, well, hopefully we can get you on the main show sometime here soon as well.
Now, that sounds fun. I know you're
our producer, Christine.
She's very angry at me because I've not been returning her emails. But although, Norris, you said that it makes her mad at you when I don't return it. So, because you were kind of mean to me during this interview, I'm just not going to return her emails. I'm just going to let her completely just go off on you.
You know, then we're going to send Julie after you.
Well,
that's right.
That. Now, then I will have to send the email.
Okay. Yes.
Julie Roosevelt Ironfest. All right,
Julie's
guys.
On our side.
Hey, nice to meet you guys. Honestly.
Nice to meet you, too.
Awesome. Thank
have
you
a great rest
much.
Of the PAX. Yep. I'm going to look out of place. Thank you.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP. That was Rich from the Toucher and Rich Show on the Sports Hub in Boston, 98.5, where you can also catch Checkpoint XP Sundays at 11 p.m.
Once again, thanks to Rich from the Toucher and Rich Show on the Sports Hub 98.5. If you're in the Boston area, you can check that out weekdays, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. A little bit later on, we'll be getting to know super producer Julie, who helped us out on the show floor at PAX East. But first, Robbie and I will be sharing our thoughts on our favorite indie games out here at PAX East. That conversation is coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Checkpoint XP. Norris and I are here at PAX East on day two Saturday. Things are...
Day two for us.
You're right. Things are starting to wind down here. Got about an hour before the show floor closes, and we thought we'd finally wrap ourselves up. We'd come back here. We're sitting down now, and we're going to talk about what's going on with a bunch of the games that we tried out. Today was like our sort of day to really dig down and get some hands-on with a bunch of the indie games.
Yeah, and one thing that I'll definitely say, and we can't emphasize this enough, is that the indie representation here at PAX is better than pretty much, or PAX East is pretty much better than any con or
I'd say about
trade
60%
show.
Of it is indie stuff, and then you got like 15 AAA, and then the rest, which I think is another 15. I'm bad at math. The rest is like tabletops and stuff.
Good.
Like that.
Well, great job making us sound intelligent, Robbie. But yeah, so pretty much the area that we're in is like the start of where the indie games sort of begin.
Yep.
And you know, one that I actually got my hands on that I really enjoyed in a weird way, I didn't expect to enjoy it, was one you and I just did.
Lost
we just
Island.
Played it. Lost Islands, which is a battle royale. It is in very, very pre-alpha right now, but it's a battle royale, a medieval battle royale with more of an emphasis on the melee combat.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like a For Honor when it comes to medieval stuff, because it's not just all like knights and whatnot. There's all types
samurai
of
samurai and stuff.
We were picking up rapiers and katanas and
machetes
and all types of different stuff.
We finished second.
We did very well. I liked it more than I thought that I did.
Yeah.
And actually, even what they already had there was actually a lot of fun. You know, what it reminds me of, how quickly, because it only takes like, you know, two or three slashes to potentially take a person down, reminded me of Bushido Blade. In that sense,
in that sense, from a design standpoint, in terms of how much damage attacks actually do, it still is a little clunky. Like I said, you could tell it's very early on.
Oh, yes.
But the idea is there. Mm-hmm. And I think if they, you know, make some tweaks here and there. One thing that's really interesting is the whole concept of the circle is been rethought of instead of the circle being like the circle of death. The circle sort of indicates where treasure is, you know, high quality items.
Right, and for like the end of the match, a ship pops up, and in order to win, you have to be on that ship when it departs.
That's right. So, in our match that we played, we felt like we were in a bad spot, but the ship ends up popping like right next to us, or where the ship will anchor pops right next to us. We get over to the area, and we killed a couple guys on our way, and then we ambushed two other guys who were sort of trying to clear the area where the ship was going to land. So we ambushed those guys. We're getting ready to climb up onto the ship. There's two guys already on the ship. Robbie jumps in.
I have like a sliver of HP.
He jumps in. Robbie dies almost instantly.
I got one hit off, and he kept somehow like glitching like into the wall and then like reappearing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would have done any better otherwise, but
yeah,
you know.
That jumper slash
though.
I got on,
yeah,
on,
no,
it, on, his, it, on his boy was crazy.
It was real interesting. And I don't even necessarily want to criticize certain parts of it, because being as early as it is, those could just, you know, change at any point
or whatnot.
But the idea of how quick the matches are and that there's not a whole lot of vehicle. I mean, you did find a horse.
I found a horse. That is right.
But trying to traverse, like, you know, if you start on the far side and, like, where the ship actually ended.
That's brutal.
It wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have actually had time to look, you know, for anything at that point. But promising. A lot more. It was a lot funner than what I thought it would be when we were just watching it.
And I mean, like, when moments were happening, I mean, people were having, like, visceral
fun.
Reactions.
Yeah.
They were having fun. People were playing it, and when battles would break out.
We took out the guys stationed next to us. They didn't even realize that it was us until it was actually already over.
Yeah.
So they were so loud, too, because I heard, oh, they're in the trees. They're running up on us. Oh, there's two of them. And it's like, and we're right here, bro.
And we just completely took them by surprise.
Yeah.
Sniped them down with some clever musket fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was
finished
it
them
was
off
really
with the
cool.
katanas.
It was really cool. But definitely one indie that I was very, very impressed by is one we saw. I can't remember if it was at an E3 or just some random announcement. Was called Night Call. narrative-based game where you play as a cabbie who's trying to solve a murder.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember this when it was announced.
Very film noir type situation. Very, very, very artsy-fartsy. It's made by the French. So, you know, you're in Paris. But it's so, so interesting. And the writing is really great. And I brought it up to Anthony, one of the developers and writers of the game, about a game that was similar called Bury Me My Love. That's a mobile game. Another almost like a point and click. Very imaginative. Very unique. And he tells me, oh, yeah, that's also a French game. That's wonderful. The guy who did that game wrote two of the characters in Nightcall. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It comes out on every platform imaginable, including mobile. So that's probably where I'm going to be picking it up, because I'm really liking, in, you know, the narrative sort of almost point and click stuff on mobile. I think that's a really good platform for it. It's like, if I don't need joysticks to enjoy a good story, then put it on mobile.
Sure.
And I have your game with me at all times. I thought I was very, very impressed by Nightcall.
Yeah, there was a game that I got to play that I'm kind of split on called Destiny's Sword. And you know, when I was walking up, when I was getting ready to try it, you know, they described it to me as being an MMO, first of all, is what they said. But you can play it either, you know, sort of in single player or with other people.
And I've heard that before.
So they sat me down, and the part that I got to play with was you go back and forth between combat, and then, like, you have troops that it's kind of futuristic combat style.
Okay.
Troops that you have to, you know, talk to, and there's kind of like this sim element to it, because based on what happens in combat, they can start to develop certain problems like PTSD.
Wow.
And they have, like, inner working relationships and stuff that you, as their commander, have to help them deal with.
That's so,
like,
so cool.
One of the recruits that I was talking to, it turns out they have a drug addiction, and they were selling off some of the other soldiers, like merchant or like belongings and stuff like that.
Wow.
And it has branching dialogue and stuff like that. And down the bottom, you can monitor sort of different things, like, you know, their grief, their anger, surprise, like, you know, different sort of things like that. And that'll eventually affect how they perform in combat. Now, that whole aspect was very, very cool. And the fact they call you Commander, it gave me a very Mass Effect-y sort of vibe, first of all.
Come on, Robbie.
It did. No,
every
I'm just saying.
Every game can't be Mass Effect,
I'm aware, but just the fact that it's sort of sci-fi, the branching dialogue and stuff, and the characters, like, immediately, I did kind of, you know, like I found myself caring for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was all really cool. The part that I'm not sold on is I then went and checked out the combat, and basically what it was is you have, like, a boss just sitting in the middle, and it's just... Granted, still early game, so who knows how it's going to change. But imagine, like, a giant board that's like a plus sign. You have a boss in the center, then each of the little prongs on the edge. You have, like, you know, 4 to 5 of your units in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked tactical in a way, but they're not actually moving around. You're just issuing commands with, like, cards, like a card-based combat system.
That sounds like too many ideas at once.
It did, and so I asked them, because, like, I'm looking at all this, and I'm like, where's the MMO aspect of it? And they're like, the MMO aspect is basically in combat. You know how you have, you know, these people on this platform, you can have other people on the other ones, and you're, like, teaming up with them. So I'm like, okay. Feels less traditional sort of MMO sense. What I like about this game is there are some really cool ideas in there, but when you're just looking at it, I don't know that they get them all in execution.
Mm.
They apparently have a Kickstarter that's going to be coming out soon, sometime this year, which makes me think that the development is still very, very early.
Right.
But it is going to be something that I think that I'll keep my eye on.
Okay. Well, and another thing that I definitely want to mention is that I not only interviewed one of the lead artists on Streets of Rage 4, I got to play it.
How was it?
Bro, I'm ready. I'm ready. Fam, I don't think you understand. Like, it's Streets of Rage through and through. It's got the same feel. I didn't have headphones, so I couldn't tell what the soundtrack is like.
I was just about
that's
to
gonna
ask.
Be make or break.
I was just
if that
about
soundtrack
to
is not up to par, it's going to be really, really difficult to surpass the originals. But what I will say is I also, in the same area, saw another game that all of you guys out there know that is very near and dear to my heart, and that's Windjammers 2. Man,
It looks so good. And I can't wait to play. It's just Pong. It's just glorified Pong with a frisbee that catches on fire that you could bounce off of walls and into a goal. Okay, I guess it's not that much like Pong. But...
Pong only had so much to work with during their, in their time,
all
right?
If any of you guys have ever seen Windjammers and say, oh, this looks ridiculous. Dude, it is the most playable game that is still very competitive. So I was very, very, very excited to check that out. And also see all the stuff that Devolver Digital is doing. Mm-hmm. They're always doing really cool smaller games. So the indie scene here has been absolutely amazing. Robbie, was there any...
There was one other one that I wanted to mention. Like you, I didn't get a chance to actually get any time on it, but it was called Dark Devotion, and it was a side-scrolling game. Beautiful, beautiful art. Like, from afar, before I got really close up to it, it looked very, like, sort of anime-inspired, but it is actually done, like 8-bit style. Like,
okay.
Like pixel art.
You're seeing a lot of pixel art.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
And it was very sort of like... Zelda meets like Castlevania.
Okay.
Like the guy that was playing, you know, was doing some really cool stuff. Like he was in a boss fight and like sliding underneath to the other side of the boss, and it looked absolutely gorgeous, though.
I mean, I'm starting to see that as sort of a trend, especially in the indie scene. The sort of like 8-bit that we overload with, you know, sort of kinetic energy and a lot of like particle effects and stuff like that, because you're not so hindered.
Samurai Gun 2, I think, was another one that looks phenomenal, but still utilizes that old arcade style, like 8-bit.
Exactly, and I think they're using that because you can be able to sort of represent the chaos of movement and a lot of other stuff without necessarily spending all the money for AAA graphics.
Thank you. One thing we're always saying is that, you know, when it comes to graphics and arts, just pick a style that works for your game, and then you get to spend more resources on actually developing gameplay. That's right. That's right. Was there anything else you really wanted to highlight, or that about wraps up your list?
I mean, it's not an indie, but I mean, Samurai Showdown.
Right. You actually interviewed them, though.
We did. Just gotta say, I'm perfect on Samurai Showdown.
Oh.
I'm perfect.
Well, let's see if that perfect
I haven't lost.
Extends into your streaming. You said when it comes out, you're gonna stream that, baby.
Triple B's, no losses, okay?
All right,
no
guys.
No losses. Come see me in Samurai Showdown when
all
it comes
right.
out.
That's gonna go ahead and wrap up our indie showcase here for Checkpoint XP out at PAX East.
We want to hear from you. What were some of your favorite indie games out at PAX East? Did you see something that was really weird and quirky, or were you more impressed with an old franchise that was being revived? Let us know on any of our social media platforms, Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next, we'll be getting to know super producer Julie, who helped us out all weekend at PAX East, and we'll be wrapping up our coverage of PAX East 2019. That conversation is next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. I'm straight. No, don't cut the camera off.
I'm turning it on.
Oh, okay. I will record this. All I'm saying is that we have to give a special...
It's not going to be long. It's not going
to
be long.
We have to give a special shout out to Julie here, who has been helping us out. Just wave, Julie. Just wave. Just wave.
There we go.
That's cool. Just so you guys can understand that Julie exists, she's been helping us out here at PAX East with all of our setup, as well as
everything.
With everything, as well as the rest of the Sports Hub staff and the Boston Uprising. Mm-hmm. We just want to thank everybody for being really gracious hosts and always being there to run out and grab batteries and stuff like that when we needed
keep
them.
Keep people in line keep if people need be.
Julie, what is your experience at PAX East like?
Awesome.
No, tell the truth.
Awesome. Love it. Happy to be here.
This is your first time at an event like this, right?
Yes.
Because you don't consider yourself a gamer, do you?
Nope.
Even though I saw you crushing
a lot of
candies earlier.
A lot of Candy Crush.
That counts.
That means you play you're a gamer.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to actually like walk around and take a look at anything, try anything out?
I saw a little bit, like on that half of the building, but no, I didn't like.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, yeah, we just want to give a big thank you to you. You know, you are, we have someone back home, Christine, aka Kooky Persona, who's our super producer.
Super producer.
You are like the Sports Hub's super producer here. From now on, whenever we come out here and do anything with the Sports Hub, I'm requesting
Julie
be here.
If Julie ain't involved, I don't want to let
it's a no-go.
Coming.
That's right.
If Julie ain't involved, we ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out.
So was there anything that you had seen? Because there are a lot of lines, and again, you've been very, very busy. Was there anything that caught your eye that you wish you could have actually spent some time trying out?
I wish the zombies weren't here. Really don't like those.
They're in a cage, though.
At E3, they would just walk around freely.
Not a fan of that.
Really?
Nope. Nope.
You have zombophobia.
Oh, I hate it.
Not a big really? Walking Dead fan?
Nope.
Wow. This might be the first time I've ever heard somebody go, like, I'm actively afraid of zombies.
Just as soon as I went down the escalator and I saw them, I was like, absolutely not.
They're just sitting there.
I walk all the way around the other side.
They're just, like, lethargically, like...
Wait.
Like, pushing on the fence, no. And she's like, nope.
You straight up, instead of just walking past and saying nope, you straight up walked all the way around. Okay, if people don't understand, not going straight through, taking an alternate route might very well add 7 extra minutes to whatever it is that you were
That's
doing.
That's very true. That's very
wow.
true.
Wow.
You know what game I think would be right up Julie's alley?
Well, okay, yeah.
That new Yoshi's Crafted World, I bet.
Yes, she would like the Yoshi game.
What do you think?
Maybe,
you should
yeah.
check it out.
All right.
You should check it out.
She really does not want to do this.
She don't want to do this. But that's okay because we definitely just wanted to shout you out and the rest of everybody here who's helped us out because we're positive. We're a positive team. We're a positive show. It doesn't sound like it all the time. But we're a positive group, and we always big up the people who look out for us, and we like to look out for them.
Well,
so thanks to everybody with Sports Hub, Julie, Boston Uprising, for hosting us here at PAX East. That is going to be it from Boston. I'm Norris Howard.
I'm Robbie Landis.
That's going to be it. Next time y'all see us, we'll be back in the mighty mitten, Detroit, Michigan. We'll see you guys later.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.